Thank you for checking out the City Church podcast today. Our prayer is that this message stirs your affection for Jesus Christ. City Church exists to lead people far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we hope that you can take one step closer in your relationship with Christ. Wherever you are listening from, we hope you enjoy today's message.
Good afternoon. How are we doing? Good, good. Hey, if you have your scripture, I want to invite with you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll jump in there in just a second. I heard someone mention just a second ago how much are our tickets for the Q Commons. I want to hit on that real quick. So it's qcommons.com/Albany, or as us in the South say, Albany. So Albany. And on there, you'll see kind of a little bit of the information. They're $19.95, $20 plus they do charge $1.50 service fee or something like that. You do not want to miss Q Commons. It's going to be right across street at the Washington Armory, and there's four or five different churches that have partnered, as well as Light the City Network and Georgette Stevens, who's with the Downtown Bid, is going to be one of the moderators there and stuff. It's going to be good. So you do not want to miss that Thursday, the 26th of October. Cool. Hey, all right, if you would, stand with me. We're going to dive right in. We've got a lot to cover, and we're going to read. This is for the reading of the Word. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking, and he's already taught about giving to the needy and prayer and fasting, and this is where we're going to pick up today, and it will all make sense in just a minute. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, I want to jump down to verse 33, and we'll be back in this exact same verse next week as well. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you would, join me in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, I just ask as we dive into the in-between part two that you would be magnified and glorified, that your gospel would go forth, God. We just thank you for your love, compassion that you've extended to us, and we just ask you bless everyone here today. And all God's people say, amen. Hey, before you're seated, high five three people around you. Tell them what's up. Tell them that they look awesome. It's good to see a full house at the 12 o'clock. I say this every week, don't tell the 10 o'clock, but the 12 o'clock is by far my favorite. So, how many of you guys have ever said that you've had one of those days where you just don't have enough time in the day? Anyone? Okay. How many of you have not? Probably no one, right? All right, cool. So let me tell you a little bit about this one time down in Texas. Whenever I was a youth pastor, I was working at this church in Beaumont, Texas. And Beaumont's where Hurricane Harvey came in. And side note, I just want to thank everyone who's given towards the relief down there, the flood relief. We've been able to kind of bless some churches down there, and so it's exciting. But I was a youth pastor at this church, and I got asked to play drums at this women's retreat. Yes, dudes, exactly what you're thinking, all right? So I got asked to play drums at this women's retreat, and I didn't know what to expect, and so I said yes. That very same night, I got asked to do a 1 a.m. youth service at a lock-in at Pastor David's church, which is David Lilly, wherever he is in his man bun. It's his dad's church. Now, Beaumont is to Moss Bluff is about an hour and a half. That's where the women's retreat was. And then from there to Ragley, Louisiana is 2.5+ hours, all right? So here I am, it's 5 o'clock, and I leave Beaumont and I get some caffeine or whatever, and I go to this women's retreat, and it was called Holy Ghost Explosion Women's Encounter or something like that. I've seen some weird things, all right? Seeing 200 women worship Jesus is weird. I'm just like, no offense, ladies. I love you all. But it's like, you want to talk about emotion? You want to talk about passion? And I mean, they're getting their Jesus on is what I'm saying. It was like intense. So here's what I did not know going into it. I didn't know that church service was going to end at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so here I am. 7 o'clock, it starts, and we're like, you know, playing, and everyone, 8 o'clock comes by, 8:30, I'm like, all right, I'm sweating, give me some water, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, the lady gets up to preach, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she preaches for an hour and a half, and then they go back into worship and start praying for people. Now, mind you, 1 o'clock in the morning, I was supposed to speak at this youth encounter lock-in thing, whatever those are called, I forgot, you know, but I was supposed to speak at this lock-in. So 1 o'clock in the morning, I leave Moss Bluff, Texas, which is out in the middle of nowhere, and I literally like hauled butt taking shots of espresso or hooking up caffeine trying to get there. And so I get at Pastor David's church in Ragley, Louisiana at around 4 o'clock in the morning. And I come stumbling in, jacked up and doped up on caffeine. And I'm like, all right, like I literally walk in and they're like dragging the worship music on, waiting for the pastor to get there to preach. You know, if you ever been to one of those church services, like, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. All right, we've been singing We Love You, Lord for 15 minutes now. Let's move. And like I come stumbling in there, and I'm like, hey, what's up? Good to see you. And I grab the microphone, and I'm like, hey, I want to tell everybody about Jesus. Jesus is really, really awesome, and he's really, really cool. And they're like, oh, my gosh. You know, here I am all doped up on caffeine and tired and been driving. And it was just one of those surreal moments. And I kid you not, I swear to you, this is not a lie. I'm talking about the Old Testament and the Ark of the Covenant and how because of Jesus, we have the presence of God with us and all this other stuff. And so, like, I start walking the people through the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies, the sacrifices, all this stuff. And then I start talking about how Jesus is the picture of it. And I get so fired up at the end. And I'm like, who here needs Jesus? Come on, who needs Jesus? God wants to move in your life. God wants to fill you with this fire. Come on, Jesus is moving. Jesus is going. And I kid you not, this 15-year-old girl in the front row is probably doing what some of y'all are doing right now. She turns to her friend and she goes, can we just go to the altar so that he will shut up? Kid you not. Kid you not. I don't know if she got saved that night, but I prayed for her, you know, like, and so at the end of that, I walked away and I was like, there was not enough time in my day. And I said what very often we probably say about our days. There's just not enough time in our day. There's 24 hours. I don't know how many seconds and minutes there are. I think I said it last week, but every second is ticking by, and we can't add on time. And so, like many of us in this room, I ended up like double or tripling, quadruple booking on that day, and it ran me ragged. Anyone ever double booked? Anyone ever triple booked? Anyone ever quadruple booked? Come on, thank you for the three hands that are being honest, you know? We've all done it. And a lot of times we keep asking ourselves, what time is it? What time is it? How much time do we have, or what do we have to get done? And so last week we started this series called The In-Between, which the entire idea behind this series is from your birth to your death, what are you doing with the in-between? That little dash that's going to be on your tombstone, what are you doing with the in-between? And last week I challenged us to ask ourselves the question, not what time is it, but what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my time? And I presented before us, and I say this with love, I presented in for us that we are not the point, right? If you look at time, if you look at God, who is everlasting to everlasting, and we take our pathetic 60, 70, 80 years, and we put it in there, and we think that it's all significant and stuff, you look at it in relation to God, and we are not the point. But because of Jesus Christ and the cross and salvation that comes from Jesus Christ, we may not be the point, but we are invited to be a solution to the point. We are invited as the people of God to play a role in the point. And the point is that God is reconciling the world to himself. I mean, from the very beginning of time, right? So you have Adam and Eve, and God made this beautiful oasis, the Garden of Eden, and great things are going on. And what did God say? He said, don't eat from the fruit of this one tree. And Eve and Adam, they went up there, and, you know, dudes, we always blame it on the women, even though it's really our fault. Can I get an amen to that? All right, and so just man up. It's cool. But what happens is they end up eating from the fruit. They were disobedient to God, and at that moment, sin entered into the world. At that moment, we were damned. At that moment, we were separated from God the Father. And what I love about the gospel is the gospel is God loved man so much that he knew man could never bring perfection to restore the relationship with God. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to be sinless, to walk a perfect life in complete obedience to God, in complete obedience to the law that God laid out, in complete obedience to what it was that God was laying before the people. And so through one man's disobedience, we all entered into sin, but through one man's obedience, we all entered into right standing. Or let me rephrase it. We all have the opportunity to enter into right standing. We all have the opportunity. And so what I want to do is I just want to read a passage of scripture in Romans real quick. And just so you can see that I'm not making this up, but this is actually in there. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 17. This is Paul writing, and he says this, "For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ." I just want to pause there for a second, because us as Christ followers, if you call yourself a Christ follower and you have embraced the saving grace and his mercy and his love that is readily available to us all, like I read that, much more will those receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You see, I just want to throw this out there. Jesus didn't come to make good people better, or to make bad people good. Jesus came to bring dead people to life through the power of the cross. And so whenever we cross over into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of life, we are receiving the abundance of grace that is readily available to us, man. And you as a Christ follower, like, I want to challenge you. This should get you excited inside. This should get something stirring up inside of you. Like, we can root for the Patriots. I hope that they lose today. Did I say that? I'm like, y'all, see, some of y'all are getting so worked up about that. But let's get worked up for Jesus. Let's start praising Jesus for what he's done. Let's start praising Jesus for the fact that we are not damned anymore, but that we have received eternal life. Can I get an amen? This is why I love the 12 o'clock, because y'all are with me. There we go. Preach it. Whoo! All right, so about to get all T.D. Jakes up in here. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by Adam's disobedience, we were born into a sinful life. We are sinful. We are wicked, but here's the good news. So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So here you have Adam, who's in perfect relationship with God. He rebels against God. Sin, and through his disobedience, sin enters into the world. And God says, I want to make things right again. I want it to be easy for people who are turning to God. I want people to be put on the same playing field again. I want God, I want to express the love of God to the people. And so God sends Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was obedient to the point of death on a cross so that we could be made the righteousness of God. Hear this out. It was Christ's obedience whenever he was being flogged and beaten and nails driving into his hand and his willingness to lay his life down that led to God turning his face upon the children of God for all who embrace the grace, the free gift of God, the free gift of salvation. And so through Jesus' act of obedience and through our laying down our life to the lordship of Jesus Christ, the salvation of Jesus Christ, Him being our master, our life is not about us anymore. Our life, once we embrace the gospel of Jesus and that becomes who we are, we move from being consumer-minded to contributor. We move from being self-focused to being selfless. Notice how there's no books out there about how to be selfless. It's all self-help, just throwing that out there. We move from being focused on us to being focused on and invited into the point of all of this, which is God reconciling man to Himself. And we as the people of God, we become image bearers, we become witnesses, we become people that can take this good news of Jesus Christ and bring it to the ends of the world. Remember, Jesus said, go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? We are invited into that. And so we move from not having a point to having a point. We move from being disobedient to, because our hearts are transformed, we should be responding in obedience. We move from waking up and really just going to work to taking work and that being an opportunity. We move from not having passion and a plan and a destiny for our life to, because of Jesus Christ, He's given us a passion, He's given us a plan, and He has a destiny for every one of our lives. So let me jump back in really quick to Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, I want to just lay this before us real quick. I am not saying for us not to pursue wealth, all right? I think a lot of times people believe that Christians should be poor and Christians should be just begging for food or whatever. I think it's okay for Christians to make money. I'm just going to say that, all right? I think it's okay for Christians to have nice house. I'm going to be completely transparent with you, and y'all can hate on me. That's okay. My dream car is a BMW. I want a BMW. I do. And for all of you Audi lovers out there, we'll pray for you. I like them too. But like, I want a BMW. I don't care if it's the 3 Series or the 5 Series or whatever it is. I don't know. But if somehow God blesses me and we have an abundance, I feel okay about going out and spending that money on a BMW. What the problem is whenever that becomes my main focus and all of my work is to get that BMW and I spend all of my money on that BMW, that's where it becomes about me and not about the kingdom of God. And so far too often we kind of get this thing flopped up, right? We mixed up, we kind of twist it. I do believe that God blesses people. God has a grace for some people to be millionaires, and God has a grace for other people to make $20,000. And it really doesn't matter about the dollar amount. It matters about how you are stewarding what it is that God has given you. This includes your time, your talents, your treasure, your energy, all of that stuff. It all revolves around how are we stewarding it for the kingdom of God? How are we stewarding it for the kingdom of God? And so I love what Matthew Henry says in relation to this verse right here. He says, acceptance with God is the treasure in heaven. So Jesus says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, right? Henry says in his commentary, acceptance with God is the treasure in heaven, which can neither be corrupted nor stolen. His well done, good and faithful servant, shall stand forever. If we have laid up treasures with him, our hearts will be. And so Matthew Henry's saying, Jesus is the point. Jesus is the point. Jesus is what all of our lives should be revolving around. All of our lives should be moving towards. And like he says later on, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of that righteousness, all of his righteousness. Jesus is the point for our lives. And so I can save up and I can go and buy a BMW and it may make me happy and all giggly and inside, but you know what's going to happen with that BMW? It's going to rain, and eventually the rain and the acidity, especially with climate change and all this stuff, is going to end up tearing apart the paint, and it's going to end up rusting, and one day it's going to end up in a junkyard and maybe getting crushed and then recycled and then put through another refinery thing just to make another BMW, right? And so everything that we have on this earth, it will let us down. It will fail us. It could hurt us if that becomes our Lord. And so what Jesus is saying is don't focus on making a bunch of silos for the end of the world, which, side note, we survived the end of the world. That was yesterday for y'all that don't know. But don't make up a bunch of silos focused on that. Store up your treasures in heaven. So he continues, I'm about to get real practical. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I think this is interesting. I was talking with someone about it, like, what do you think this means? Kind of just dialoguing. And he said, he goes, I really think he's talking about your perspective. I started thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Because whenever our perspective is Jesus, our perspective changes. How we see people changes. How we spend our money changes. Whenever the perspective is the gospel, how we manage our time and what we do between our birth and our death ends up changing. See, whenever we are before Jesus becomes into our life, what happens is that we are focused on us. We make it all about us. We make it about us building up our own silos for ourselves, us getting the great educations and all that stuff for ourselves. But whenever Jesus comes into play, our focus starts to shift, right? Our focus and our perspective shift, and we start to realize that everything that God has given us is ultimately for his glory and for his kingdom and for the expansion of the local church. And through that, we start to get a purpose. And so Jesus should change your perspective because Jesus changes your heart. Whenever we focus on behavior modification, we will never change the heart. But whenever we allow Jesus to change our heart, our perspective and our behavior starts to change. And we move from a place of being disobedient to a place of obedience. Now, I'm going to get real practical with you guys. This is what this looks like, all right? I have a list. Work. We go to work, right? How often do we look at the clock and we say, I can't wait till it's 3 o'clock. I can't wait till it's 5 o'clock. I just want to go hang out with my friends. God has placed you in the job that you're in, and you may not like it, and you may be praying for a way to get out. And I pray that you do get that way to get out. But God has placed you in the job that you are in for whatever reason, the reason being to advance the kingdom of God. The reason being is to be a witness for the name of Jesus Christ. And you may not be there forever. So instead of sitting there saying, how much time do I have until I can clock out and I can go home? Why don't we start saying, because of the gospel of Jesus, let me make the most of my time at work. Well, Michael, Becky is my boss and I just can't stand her. I understand. I've had bosses too that I just cannot stand. Bless her. Make the most of it. Like, and whenever she yells at you or you get in trouble for something stupid, just God forgive her. She doesn't know what she does. Bless her. Lord, let me be a witness to her in whatever way that I can. Another one is home. And just being transparent with you, this is stuff that I'm dealing with. I'm not sitting here saying I've got this down, I've got this conquered, because I do not at all. This is stuff that I deal with. Whenever we're at home, let's be at home. Let's spend time with our family. Let's make the most of it. Let's make the most of the opportunity. Or how about whenever we're with people? Whenever we're with people, can I just say, put down your phone. Put down your phone. Facebook, Marco Polo, which you all need to get, just throwing it out there. Twitter, Instagram, and all these little hearts, they're going to keep calculating, and you can go check it whenever you're not in front of people. But whenever you're in front of people, whenever you're at home, whenever you're spending time with the family and with the kids, and you're having, I'm not talking about like everyone's off doing their own thing, but I'm talking about you're at dinner, like put the phone down and have dinner with your family and build a relationship with the people that are in front of you. Just throwing that out there, all right? How about whenever you're with your friends? Like it annoys the crap out of me whenever I'm sitting down with someone and they're just... Yeah. What'd you say? Like, dude, I'm bearing my soul with you, and you're over there texting, you know, Billy Bob or whatever from 10 years ago. Like, shut up and pay attention to me. It dishonors the person that you're with. It dishonors the person that God has placed in front of you. And so can we just, like, put down our phones sometimes? Yesterday, I was able to not answer my phone for about 6 hours. I didn't know what to do. It was kind of weird. Just being honest, we didn't have service. So I couldn't answer it. It's like, let me check oh, no service. Let me give you another example, all right? I kid you not. This was yesterday, all right? And so we go to Chipotle. Did I say it right? Whatever. The Mexican restaurant. I went through this at the 10 a.m. I don't know how to say it. Please forgive me. Seriously, please forgive me. We go there to go get Mexican food or Tex-Mex or American Mex, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. And because it was a healthier option than Five Guys, I guess, not really. But so we get in line, and I kid you not, Jim orders his food. Josh orders his food. I still didn't know what I want. Nathan orders his food, and I am next. Now, mind you, Nathan is here. I am here. I'm about to order my stinking food. And you know what happens? The lady comes up or the guy comes up. I don't remember. Dirt. Oh, hey, sir, what can I get for you? And I'm like, you did not just skip me in this restaurant. Like, the anger of hell was breeding inside of my heart at this time. Now, to make it worse, I'm just being, this is like, you can ask the guys, I'm dead serious. To make it worse, I get my food, like, the person behind me probably thought that I'd already ordered or whatever. Like, you could tell, he was like, oops, my bad. And so I go to pay for my food. I kid you not, this is what happens. They bag my food, and they start checking the other people behind me out. And I'm like, I want my stinking food, please. And so I like, this is a double whammy. I wanted to call the 1-800 number and complain because of customer service. Like, I'm going to rate you a 1 on every one of these on a scale of 5. You know, I was so angry. And so I get out to the car. I'm sitting in the car, and I'm like, this just makes me so mad. It just irritates me. And I could have sat there and just started cussing them out and screaming at them, but Jim was there, so I didn't want to do that, right? So I could have just been going off, and but you know what happened? God bless them. Seriously, God bless them, because I'm not happy with them. Like, God just bless. And I say that, and it was kind of a little bit sarcastic, just being honest with you. But our perspective, because of the gospel, should be that whenever situations happen to us, we do not respond from a place of disobedience, but that we respond from a place of obedience to the master and lordship of Jesus Christ, who was obedient so that we could have right standing with Jesus Christ. Let me give you two more quick examples, then I'm going to wrap this thing up, all right? For all of our parents in here, I heard this sermon a few weeks ago, and it just really resonated with me. This pastor was talking to this older woman, and the older woman was kind of giving parental advice, and the older woman ended up saying, man, enjoy it. Treasure the time with your kids. Oh, yeah, I know. And no, you don't understand. Like, treasure the time with your kids. I used to complain all the time because the kids would come into the house and they would walk on the clean carpet with muddy shoes, and I would get so, so mad. And now they're all grown, and I long for my carpet to be dirty because that means my kids are here. But I was too focused on the carpet instead of actually building the relationship with my kids. I think about us cuddling with Judah. He has cuddle time every night. And he goes, snuggle with mommy? Snuggle mommy's bed, and mommy's bed is also daddy's bed. And so right before we go to bed, we go snuggle. And sometimes I have to stop working. Sometimes I have to stop a show. Sometimes we have to stop washing dishes or doing laundry or whatever it may be to spend that 5 minutes with Judah. And he may not even remember it because he's so young, but to build the moments and to get the focus off of us. I just want to challenge you. Singles. You're not married yet, or you're married and you don't have kids, enjoy it. Go get coffee at 2 a.m. because you can. Because whenever you have kids, I kid you not, whenever you have kids, you're not going anywhere after 8:30, all right? I'm being serious. Like, Go get coffee. You can stay out. You can stay up till 4 a.m. and talking Jesus and playing Modern Warfare or what. Like, actually enjoy doing life with one another. Far too often we get focused on what's ahead instead of enjoying what it is that God has placed in front of us. Go kill some zombies and talk about Jesus. I don't know many pastors that would recommend that. So here's what I'm saying. Our perspective changes because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's be intentional about the moments that God gives us. Let's prioritize the right thing. The things that take us away from the right thing, which ultimately is Jesus, and then the relationships that he's put around us, the things that take us away, let's not spend time on that. Let's not spend time worrying too much. We'll get to that next week. I love what Kerry Newhoff says. He says, it's not the fact that you don't have time. It's the fact that you don't make time for the priorities in your life. You do have time. You have time to hang out with your family. You have time to witness. You have time to go to the gym. It's the fact that whenever you say, I don't, no, you just don't make time. They're not a priority. And so my challenge for us is to get our priorities in line. And I want to close out with this scripture right here, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And we always, like, we get attached to that. We say, oh, this is always about money, God and money, God and money. And yes, Jesus did talk about money a lot, but he's not just talking about money. He's talking about your treasure. Now, for most of us, we pursue money. Money, 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 money. We pursue going after and making the big bucks so that we can go on vacation. Just to go back and make the big bucks again so that we can go on vacation again. Just to make the big bucks again so that we can go back on vacation. What Jesus is saying, you can do that, but the moment that money becomes your Lord is the moment that I'm no longer your Lord. The moment that anything becomes your Lord is the moment that we enter back into disobedience towards our master. Because we have surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, we have no life anymore. Our life is his. Matthew 10:39, those that live their life will lose it. You want to live your life? Do it. Go ahead. Be my guest. But you're going to lose it. Or those that lose their life for my sake, Jesus' sake, will gain it. So you may lose your materialistic things. You may lose maybe your vision of being a great lawyer. You may lose all these things for the kingdom of God, but because of Jesus Christ being the ultimate treasure, you've gained the entire world. You may not understand it. Your circumstances may not look like it. People may think that you're weird, but you've gained the entire world. Now, one thing I want to close out on, talking to us corporately as a church, and we're going to sing a song and we'll get you out of here. Our mission here is to lead people who are far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And I remember a few years ago, we ended up doing a vision night, and it was rallying, and we didn't have Josh, who scared everyone with the confetti like what happened a few weeks ago. And if y'all were here for that, that terrified me. But afterwards, we had this girl come up, and she goes, I think that that's a great mission for the church. I'm like, yeah, it really is. You know, excited. And she's like, yeah, but it isn't mine. What do you mean? Like, oh, it's not my job to go reach people far from God. I'm like, oh, yeah. Actually, it wasn't me. It was another pastor. It is. No. That's the church's job. Yeah, but you're the church. No, I'm just an attender at the church. Like, no. You are the people of God. You are the church of God. It is the church's job to go reach people for the name and the glory of Jesus Christ. And so I think a lot of times we enter into church community with a consumeristic mindset, and we think that church is about us. And so I just want to lay a few things, and to be completely transparent with you, I already knew I was speaking about this, and then I heard another pastor talk on this, and it was like confirmation and conviction at the same time. And so that's why I'm presenting this before us, okay? City Church is not a self-service, self-gratification, make-me-happy type environment. And we do not want you to come in here being a consumer and not a contributor. Now, I want to say this, and I say this, if you're going through stuff, if you're new, I'm not necessarily talking to you, but I'm talking about people who have been here for a while and who just keep sucking the life out of us without giving anything back to the kingdom of God. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes we think that it is about, let me eat. And let me go back to the whole leading people far from God. It is the church's job to do that. But guess who is the church? Us. Everyone in this room that calls themselves and is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we are the church. So it is not my job to sit here and to evangelize your friends. That is your job. My job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. My job is to teach. My job is, and now with that, I have my own people that God has placed in front of me that I need to pour into, and I need to lead them into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. But as a pastor, as a shepherd, or an elder, if you want to get real biblical, as the elder's role, my job is not to go out and to evangelize and get your friends saved. That is your job. My job is to help you do it. My job is to equip you with the tools of the gospel so that you can go out and do it. And so I think far too often we think that it's the pastor job or the elder board's job or the staff's job, and we don't take responsibility. And ultimately, that is us making church all about us. What can the church give me instead of what can I give to the church? See, we are not here to serve you. We are here to serve one another. And that means that we enter into community. That means that we cry with those who cry, what it talks about in Romans. We mourn with those who mourn. We weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. That means that we gather around a brother or a sister who's going through a hard time, and we are there to support them whenever they've lost a loved one. But at the same time, whenever someone gets a new job or they get a promotion, we gather around them, and we celebrate with them, and we rejoice them. We actually do life together with one another. And so I lay this before us. I lay this before us because where God is taking us as a church, where God is taking us as a community, we cannot be a consumeristic body of believers that is focused on us, on me. We have to be a contributing body of believers that is focused on the advancement of the gospel. And if you cannot jump on board with this, I say this lovingly, I would ask that you would go find a church where you can get fed and you can get plugged into the life, where you can get connected. It's for the good of the body. And I know that's Michael, you're being harsh today. No. I say this with all the love inside of me, man. I say this with all the love inside of me. I heard someone say there's this 20-80 rule. Like 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And you know what happens is you have 40 people who get the life sucked out of them. And so my beckoning before us is that we would prioritize. I'm not telling you to disregard your family. I'm not telling you to disregard your job. I'm telling you to enter into the fray with me and the people who have entered into the fray, and to actually see the gospel impact that is happening instead of just sitting on the sidelines, eating. I say that with love. I say that with love. I desire for all of us to live a life of obedience to our Master Jesus Christ, because he laid down his life for us. Man, he laid down his life for us. He has saved us from eternal damnation. And so whenever I look at my time, whenever I look at my priorities, whenever I look at the things that are going on in my life, I want it to be that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. I want it to be that whenever I breathe my last breath, that I wasn't consumed with Michael Moore, but that I was consumed. That people don't sit there and talk about how much Michael cared about himself, but that people say Michael was selfless. Michael sacrificed. Michael gave all that he had for the glory of God and the building of the church. And I'm here to tell you, this is hard. But if you're willing to run with me, I'm willing to run with you. If you're willing to link arms with some of the brothers and sisters in this Christ, in this church, who are doing this in the name of Christ, they're willing to link arms with you. And we're willing to run towards the mission of the gospel, which is to seek and save the lost, to lead people who are far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus. And so I'm asking you today to consider this, to pray about this. I'm going to close with this quote. Matt Chandler says this: a servant of the master does not have the option of hoarding the gifts that God has given you. Everything you have is from God. You're just a steward. How are we going to prioritize what God has given us? If you would, stand with me. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song in just a minute. And the prayer team is going to be available over here. Man, if you need prayer, like seriously, if you need prayer, please go pray with the prayer team. Like, this is us being the church, praying for one another, sharing our burdens, sharing our hurts, our maybe like you have a praise report. Like, and you, hey, I want to praise God for this. I want to challenge you to go pray with them, to praise with them, to rejoice with them. That's what they're there for. Father, I thank you for this church community, God. I thank you for this audacious vision that you've given us. And Lord, I just ask that you would just lay on our hearts a place of obedience, that you would just lay on our hearts to, God, that we would remember that our days are numbered, and that, Father, we would not live this life for ourselves, but that we would live it losing ourselves for your sake. Losing ourselves for your glory, losing ourselves for what it is that you have in store. Father, I ask that we would not forget what you did on the cross, but God, we would be reminded daily of the sacrifice that you made and how you made it because of your love that was stretched out for us and the grace that was poured out for us. That God, we would not forget the obedience that your son walked through, but Lord, that would be replicated in our life, and that it would just start to flow from our hearts because you've changed our perspective. That God, we see people the way you see people. We talk to people the way that you talk to people. God, that we spend money the way that you would spend money. That God, we look at everything in front of us, God, and it is to bring glory to your name, the name of Jesus Christ, the name by which all men are saved, the name above every other names, God. And so, Father, let us make you famous. Let your glory and your renown shine through this place and through this city, God. Father, we surrender it all to you in the name of Jesus.
This concludes today's message. We hope that you are encouraged and strengthened in your faith. For more messages from this series or other series, please visit us online at citychurchalbany.com. If you have been impacted by the message or ministry of City Church, please send us an email at info@citychurchalbany.com. We would love to hear your story. If you would like to partner with us financially, please visit us at citychurchalbany.com/giving. We hope that you have a blessed week.